Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you want your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But most importantly, guys, it's about living a life of meaning and purpose, because as you are blessed financially, you can create a greater impact and ripple effect through the lives of others. Guys, thank you so much for allowing me to create that ripple effect through you. Thank you for tuning in, for binging and sharing and creating powerful conversations, because without that and without you guys taking action on these things, your life would never change. So thanks for tuning in and thanks for actually doing something about it. As a quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. We got great podcasts that we've got the videos uploaded there as well from YouTube, and feel free to subscribe there as well at the Money Ripples with Chris Miles page. So check that out. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income from making at least double digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually earn double-digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out securedinvestmentcorp.com. That's secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, today, guys, I've got a special guest, Scott Krohn. So this was a guest that was introduced to me, and I thought, okay, this guy's got some pretty darn good experience. And on top of that, you know, the one thing I love seeing is that, you know, when someone comes from a very big perspective, like somebody who's not just done what I call kind of one trick pony, right? He's definitely not the kind of one trick pony guy that you might hear from. And so I wanted to bring him on and talk about what are those four like real proven strategies in multifamily investing. Because I know a lot of you guys are looking at investing. And oh, Scott, you know, we'll be talking here in a bit with this, but you know, a lot of our guests are passive investors. You know, some are active, but a lot of them just want to be hands off. So I'll give you guys a little background on Scott here. So Scott is a Chicago native whose career began at architecture back in 1991, and he got his master's at the Illinois Institute of Technology. While getting his degree there, he worked as a project manager for Optima Inc. And then during his time there, his responsibilities included things like projects such as like a 400 unit in Deerfield, Illinois, a 40 unit in other places in Illinois, and just tons of units everywhere, pretty much. He founded the Coda Management Group back in 2012, a firm that specializes in managing real estate assets. And since then, he's done a wide array, everything from single family to multifamily, retail, commercial wholesale, self-storage, which we'll talk about a little bit today as well, even athletic spaces. And so currently they have investments in the excess of $55 million. So Scott, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So bridge the gap for us a little bit there. What got you from architecture to actually going and doing the investment?
Well, it began while I was getting my graduate degree, and my professor was a real estate developer and an architect and also a contractor. And so when I was working with him in his office, I was his TA and he had me work in his office. I was on the development side. And when I go to class, I was be on the architecture side. And so I was, you know, got into both right away, you know, during my educational process.
Gotcha. And what was the thing that really just turned you on to it? Because it definitely takes, especially when you go on the active route, it takes someone like it has that extra passion for it, right? Like, what was that passion for you?
Well, I think the first part of your question is why it attracted me was because I saw a lot of people that wanted to get into architecture, but it stopped at drawings because it never got built. But right. Being the developer ends as well as being in controlling the architecture and controlling the contracting, we now also control the management. So we literally do from A to Z in the entire process. And so we know that we're going to be creating our own job flow. And so there, therefore it gives us a lot more flexibility, but we can also control our product a lot better.
That's interesting. Yeah. You don't see many people get into that, that have that unique skill level. You know, usually when I meet real estate investors, a lot of times they come from various backgrounds, but usually they don't have a background. They can kind of almost be the one-stop shop within their own deals.
It is a unique set, and that we call it our distinct advantage, advantage. And so that is when people talk about other developers or they talk about other syndications or things that they're considering, you know, one of the things that we highlight is the fact that, you know, we have a much better grasp on the entire process because we control it through A to Z.
Right. Exactly. So tell me, like, what are those four different ways? Like, what are those four proven passive investments that you've discovered over the years as you've done this?
Well, I mean, there's not much difference between what we're doing now in self-storage and multifamily. Mm-hmm. In fact, the way I look at it is self-storage is a, you know, it's a box without a toilet and kitchens. And so it's just a much more simplistic version of it.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at multifamily and whittle it all the way down to self-storage, it's the most basic form of an apartment complex. So mm-hmm. what we look for is how we can maximize the capital stack, how we can maximize the rate of return for our investors without exerting any other additional pressure on it. So we've utilized different tools in our tool belt, such as we've sold off cell towers. We've done historical tax credits. We've done opportunity zones. We've done PACE financing. We're actually doing a land lease structure right now. So these are all different things that we can do to create a better yield in addition to like cost segregation. You know, hopefully that will stay within the tax code. Hopefully we won't see too much changes within that in the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. But these are different strategies that we've implemented in order to enhance our investors' rate of return.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's funny. We actually had somebody about a year or so ago talking about the cell tower strategy and surprisingly, a lot of guys in self-storage don't even know about it, which shocked me, you know?
Well, one of the buildings that we bought it at a 17 cap. And when we were approached about redoing the leases for the cell towers, mm-hmm. you know, there was basically a couple, maybe call it $400 or $500 a month in income.
Yeah.
And, you know, they approached us and said, would you be willing to sell them? And I'm like, if I can get like a 3 cap, mm-hmm. I would sell them. And my point was, what's going to happen to cell towers in the next 30 years? It's all going to, and I called up some friends that were heavily invested in the cell tower industry. And they're like, it's all going to go satellite. It's not going to be terrestrial based, land based. It's all going to be satellite. And so I'm like, if I can get a differentiation of a 14 cap on the sale, I'll sell it right now. And that's what we did. And we were able to return 80% of our investors' equity back on that deal.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Awesome. Well, go a little bit deeper with some of these other strategies you mentioned as well, right?
Well, are you familiar with opportunity zones or should I cover?
But you know, cover it though, because I know some of our listeners have never even heard of opportunity zones.
So opportunity zones was actually created in the Obama administration, but Obama didn't push the agenda and it actually got implemented in the Trump administration. And Biden was interesting that Biden was attacking it, but in fact, it was really attacking something that it was created under his own administration.
His own administration.
Right. But the idea of it is that if you have capital gains, not just in real estate, but in anything, whether in stocks, selling of art, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. You can invest those in an opportunity fund, which then invests in an opportunity zone, and you can defer or reduce all your capital gains liability down to zero after 10 years. Yeah. So it's a much more powerful tool than the 1031 exchange, because within a 1031, you have to maintain like ownership and you have X amount of days to invest within a similar type structure in real estate. Mm-hmm. Here, our investors are taking stock capital gains or other capital gains that they may have, and they're investing them, and then they can defer them or reduce the cost basis completely down to zero. And so it's an incredibly powerful tool that has spurred a lot of development across the United States. And we've utilized it in three projects. We've done it in Toledo, Dayton, Ohio, and most recently in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that it has to be a specific zone, correct?
Well, that's what was unique about this whole program. That it's mm-hmm. it's a federal-based program that was initiated with the tax code, but it's implemented at the local level. So each local municipality had to designate these zones based upon the census and economics within it. And they all mapped them out. And that map was then like frozen. And so either your property is in the zone or not in the zone.
Yeah.
And so when I first learned about it, I just, you know, Googled it and found the map and then put in my address and I found out our property was in it.
Yeah.
We hadn't closed yet. And so I you know, threw out an email to our investors, if anyone's interested, should I do this for you? And we had people come back and said, yes, we would love to have the opportunity zone. And so we implemented on behalf, and this is before the regulations even came out. And so I was in direct communication with the IRS to try to understand how they were going to implement this, because the tax code is only 3/4 of a page.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, well, how do we decipher that 3/4 of a page? And, you know, they said, just treat it more like a retirement account. And if you do that, you should be safe. And so we actually implemented the first opportunity zone in Ohio before the regulations were even out. And so we were able then to carry it out into our Dayton project and then also Kentucky.
And I'm glad you brought it up that they have a long-term perspective with it, because it's not something you just can do, get your tax out, wash the money, so to speak, and then pull it back out. This is something you do have over a long period of time.
Right. And the gentleman who created it basically said, like, worst case, you can defer it. You know, if you pull the money out sooner, you're just basically deferring it. But the idea of it is that you're investing in the fund for 10 years and you get bonuses at 5 years and 7 years where it incrementally drops your capital gains down to zero. Mm-hmm. But after 10 years, it's completely zero. But the other powerful tool is that if your money appreciates in that fund, that's also tax free. And so it's an incredibly powerful tax tool within you know, the laws right now. And that's what we're, you know, I would say, you know, 50% or 60% of our investors are investing with us because of tax strategies rather than just gains. They're looking at how to shelter their taxes.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's kind of like an annuity in a way, but it's actually more for the alternative investment space versus just the traditional financial advisor space, right? It's like something
absolutely
think long-term. And of course you got those little incremental things as the years go on, but yeah, then it's, you got the cash, you got the funds and clean of the tax, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what's your favorite strategy of all of these? I mean, was that opportunity zone or what's your favorite, personally, your own favorite strategy that you like to use when it comes to passive investing?
Well, I mean, to me, commercial real estate is my favorite opportunity because we can get gains. So we look at it as not only, we look at it as a growth stock. You know, we're looking at it for both appreciation in terms of what we're doing in terms of development. So we're inherently changing the value of it, of a property and increasing valuation of it. Plus we're also getting cash flow. So I like passive income is the most because we can shelter huge amounts of money. I mean, people think that that's a negative thing in terms of like the recent political conversations, but in reality, we're taking risk. We're taking risk by investing in a community. We're taking risk by taking our dollars and choosing to invest it in hopes that it's going to improve and hopes that it's going to benefit a community. And there's risk to that. You know, there's risk to real estate. There's risk to everything that we do. Right. And so in exchange for that risk, we get a benefit. And one of those benefits is that we can shelter our you know, potentially gains that we have in other things within the tax code. And it's all perfectly legal. And that's how we've structured it. It's not how we structured it, but it's how the US government has encouraged people to do it. So for me, that is one of the best things out there because of the fact that while we have ordinary income and we have other gains that we can have, we can reduce that tax liability, still pay our fair share. Believe me, I'm paying a lot more in local taxes than I am on federal, which to me is more important because it's going to the communities that we're directly invested in, right?
Yeah.
You know, between real, you know, the huge bumps in real estate taxes and all those different things that we do, permits and fees and so on and so forth. But that is directly impacting the communities that we're involved with. And so that's one of the reasons why we're in favor of passive income and working directly with, you know, real estate as our investment vehicle.
Oh, I love it. Now you have an opportunity kind of come up with your own self-storage stuff. What's the opportunity you have that would be available to our listeners today?
Well, we have created a different platform. So we're on our third platform and each platform has three properties. And we've been developing this portfolio across the United States of conversions or expansions of self-storage facilities. And one of the things that we just launched is our own brand called One Stop Self-Storage. So we've brought the management back in-house, and as opposed to doing third-party management, we took it away from one of the major REITs in the country mm-hmm. and said, hey, look, we're seeing a lot of inefficiencies here. We're seeing, you know, revenue not increasing like projected, and we're seeing expenses increasing. And so we feel that we can bring this in-house and do a better job of managing our own assets than paying other people to do it. And so that's what we've done, was we've created and launched our own brand, One-Stop Self-Storage, for all your self-storage needs. Mm-hmm. And but that's where we have it, from Wisconsin all the way to Maine now. And so we're just looking to continue to grow our portfolio and our platform and create a, you know, $100+ million REIT that we can sell off and sell it to, you know, a mid-major REIT. I mean, we've seen major plays by Berkshire Hathaway. We've seen mm-hmm. it by Bill Gates. We've seen it with Blackstone, where they're all buying up, you know, $100 million, up to $1 billion portfolios to expand their self-storage portfolios. And that's ultimately our strategy, is to develop this REIT quality of assets across the United States that we can then package it and sell it off to the mid-major levels.
Awesome. So are you looking for investors, or are you looking more for people that have self-storage units?
We're looking for both. I mean, we like people that are interested in self-storage and getting to know it more. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if they have self-storage and they feel it's the right time for them to sell, and there's opportunity for us to expand it either through development or expansion or improving on the management, we'll look at all those situations. And so we consider all things.
What kind of growth are you aiming for with this fund?
Originally, we were doing 10 assets in 5 years, and we're on a pace to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we have a couple that are in for permit or in the development process, and that will keep us on pace. And so once we get to 10, then we're going to continue to reevaluate and push it to the next 5 years. And so we don't have like 1 year goals, we have 5 year goals.
Yeah.
And so if we keep those progressions, that's our focus.
Excellent. Right. Well, if people want to learn more about that, what would they do?
Well, there's a couple of different ways they can reach out to us. The best way was www.CODAMG.com. And if you want to check out our new website, it's www.onestopselfstorage.com. And one is spelled out, O-N-E, stop self storage.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes for everybody. In case they're driving, we don't want them trying to write that down when they're driving or text it or whatever. That's dangerous. So great. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes there, and everybody has that available. So that's excellent stuff. Some exciting opportunities for sure.
I appreciate the time.
You bet. Well, Scott, appreciate you being here too, and definitely dropping some great value and giving your expertise, especially over the years. You know, that's the thing is, I don't like having people that said, hey, I've been investing for 3 years. You know, that's not the kind of people we want to have on the show, right? We want people that have been there, done that, still doing it today. And you're definitely living that. So really appreciate you being on the show today, and everybody else, you know, go check out, you know, Coda Investments there. You know, we got both their links in the show notes there. So check that out, visit there. And guys, you know, again, this is not just about listening to our podcast. It's about being a doer, not just a hearer of the word. So guys, go and make it a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll see you later. Hey!
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.